Hey, Smarties, Sean Hayes here, and I can't wait to tell you all about the new show from everybody here at Smartless Media. It's called I Need You Guys, and it stars Jenny Slate, Gabe Liedman, and Max Silvestri. Oh my gosh, they're all hilarious people. Jenny, Gabe, and Max are well-established actors and writers, but they've also been best friends for over 20 years, and now that they live in different cities and have kids and responsibilities, they need each other more than ever. Get it? This show is like their group chat come to life. You get to eavesdrop as they ask each other for advice on existing in the world, remember crazy dinner parties they threw in their 20s, and make lots and lots of Jurassic Park jokes. Plus, every episode, they'll welcome a special guest into the group, people like Nick Kroll, John Mulaney, Michelle Buteau, Kate Berlant, and many more, including me. I'm going to play you my segment from this week's episode. We spent a lot of time goofing around and just maybe a little bit of time answering a listener question. This show is a ton of fun. I hope you enjoy listening to it as much as I enjoyed doing it. Subscribe to I Need You Guys Now. New episodes every Tuesday. Find it anywhere you get your podcasts. Guys, this is so exciting.
You're the best. Can we just say that?
You are the best.
Well, great. And that's all our time. That's all our time. Our time is over.
That's right.
Sean, I don't know if you remember this, but we, me, you, and Gabe were working together on Q-Force in March 2020.
Beautiful
I love,
time
I don't know
in
if you
history.
Remember this. Yeah.
A powerful month. But I remember right before we had to go remote to make the show over some app called Zoom we'd never heard of, you were setting up this like mic setup, I think in this room, and you're like, I'm about to start this podcast with friends and we're setting it up so we don't have to be in the same space. And I was like, what are you wasting time on this for? Brother, we're making an animated show for Netflix. You don't need to do this
you don't
alone.
Need to do a podcast, buddy. You're doing fine.
I know. I know. It really was. Smartless was just born out of the, like you guys, it's like we've been friends for 20, 25 years, something like that. And we're just like, we can't go anywhere, so let's just do this and hang out. And they were like, oh, well, let's, instead of Zooming and hanging out, let's do a podcast and hang out.
Yeah.
And then two people listen, and then 10, and then it's like Willa Balsam shampoo. Anybody? Do you remember that? Do you remember those commercials? They told two friends, and they told two friends, and so on. And so on. It's an old commercial from the 1970s.
Yes.
Wait, it's shampoo. It's shampoo. It's shampoo.
You know, what commercial from the 80s literally made me want to eat the soap? And still, when I think about it,
I know exactly the one.
What do you think it was?
Mr. Bubble?
Nope.
Irish Spring.
Yeah.
Irish Spring.
Totally.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wait, why?
It just seems so good.
It looks good.
Do you remember the commercial for Gleam toothpaste?
No.
Do you remember Gleam?
No.
And she held it upside down. She's like, Meagle. And it's like, no, Gleam. Right? And then she licked her lips and she's like, like it was so gross, but I was like, oh, I'll try it.
That's an artistic commercial. I wish there was more stuff like that where they read it wrong and then licked
themselves.
Yeah,
and they're more playful with how reading upside down works, which actually doesn't reverse the letters.
Right, and we shoot it in the back of an ambulance because everything's backwards and on the front of an ambulance.
Well, one thing I was going to say is, so one of the things that I think is one of the cutest things about Gabe when he was a little boy. Actually, Gabe, I thought about you yesterday because my daughter was like, why don't I take the school bus? And we live like four blocks from her school. I was like, I don't know. I can't even explain this to you right now. You're four. But you don't need to.
Yeah.
A bus is like a big car, Sean, that takes kids to school, but it can
I
be
need
for other
pictures.
Stuff.
I need pictures.
So the bus went by, and what I remembered, which is one of my favorite stories from Gabe, is that when he was a little boy, he was on the school bus going down the center aisle of the school bus, and he tripped super hard and fell like all the way down, and then got up and went, Super Grover!
Yes. And that was what I consider to be my first joke.
Wait, super what? Oh, super Grover.
He had like Grover on Sesame Street had like a super
had a cape.
Yeah, Super Grover. And what it was I was sitting in my seat, the bus braked super hard, and every other child was totally fine, but for some reason I like went flying like a rocket up the aisle, landed at the front of the bus. Everyone was looking at me like, is he okay?
Yeah.
I must have been like five, and I had the wherewithal to be like super gross, and I that was like a real triumph for me as a comedian.
Did people laugh?
People laughed,
right?
And I came home and I bragged about it,
and it was your first joke. And the reason why this is not just me having like an ADHD flare up ruining the entire podcast is that one of my first jokes was about a commercial that I saw on TV, and I would go up to like adults for no reason and raise my hand and push my armpit out and go, raise your hand if you're sure.
I remember that. I used to do shit like that all the time.
It. Yeah, and I was like, everyone fucking loves me when I do that deodorant thing. I better like do this.
I used to do a bit in high school where I would have a backpack on and I would open it just enough so that when I reached to the top of the stairs, I would on purpose trip on the top of the stairs and all my books would go flying everywhere. And people would think that was the funniest thing. So I was voted senior most likely to trip at graduation.
Yay.
So in the line of the 2,000 people graduating, I had people like, do it, do it. I'm like, I think I'm going to do it. So I got up there and he goes, and they're like, Sean Hayes. And the dean hands me my diploma. And I tripped on purpose. Everybody stood up and clapped.
Oh, my God. Oh! Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Did you take down the podium like when football players are practicing and they have to like run really hard into the thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like they sideswipe it, kind of spear it off the top of the thing is what you're thinking of.
Take the podium out and the principal.
Yeah, I was basically the podium.
Have you guys ever seen those videos where like, I think it's a thing more in the South where there's a day in like peewee football where the kids go up against their parents and they're just for tackling.
Really?
It's like kind of like a tradition.
Moms only, right?
Mostly moms, yeah. There are some dads, but it's the kids are in full pads, so they're like absolutely cushioned, like sumo at a you know, climbing gym style. They look like comically, and then
like
it's just
Michelin
parents,
man.
Exactly, and the parents just themselves just smoke their kids, like so. It's just their kid running, and they run,
that.
And it just they explode, but like nobody gets hurt, and you just can sense the like catharsis in relief.
That must feel so good
in being like the mom of a 12-year-old boy, just absolutely. Laying him flat in the ground.
Wait, that is genius. I thought you were going was that the kids were going to do it, that the parents were all wrapped up and the kids get to tackle the parents.
You would think all the kids have it in their head that they're like, I'm going to be the one that can take my own dad down. Like, I'm actually like, I do football, he's an old man, and then every single one gets smoked by the parents because they're huge, you know? Jenny, I feel like we should get Sean's input on your conundrum this week. I don't know if you heard some of it as you were coming in, Sean.
I just heard the tail end.
Here was my
what
conundrum.
Was it?
It was a fresh I need you guys, meaning I asked them for help with something, which was that...
Did you have your period?
It's due on Saturday. Did you say I got my period?
Oh, well, yeah.
What do I do?
I thought you needed help with...
Tampon?
Like, what do you do? Yeah.
What would you guys do? Cup?
No, sorry. Go ahead.
Diva cup. Yesterday, the White House official Instagram, which I am not aware of, weirdly don't follow, and I don't use my Instagram at all. It is like my Instagram still, but 3 years ago, I was like, I actually can't interact with this at all. It's bad for me. I know I need to have it for like when I have a stand-up show or a podcast or a book coming out where I wear a dress that someone was like, you can wear this, but you better post it if you wear it. Like that kind of thing.
Right.
Whatever. Yesterday, the White House posted a meme that is like Mona Lisa Saperstein from Parks and Recreation, a show that I was on. I played Mona Lisa. And it's me and Henry Winkler. He played my dad. And it was like my character is saying like, money, please. And he's like giving her the money. But underneath the image of me saying money, please, a moving image, it said illegal immigrants being like, money, please. And then under Henry, it said Democrats. And I was like, gah.
Well, you know what to do, which is nothing. You don't do anything.
That's how
you just let it. You just let it go, and I know because you feel when you're the person that the thing that is being exploited for whatever, yeah. for a missed message or whatever, and you're the kind of face of it, you can't help but internalize how personal it makes you feel.
Yeah.
But know that everybody on the outside understands that this is unfortunately the norm and it has nothing to do with you. You were just a pawn in their messaging. And I think even Republicans, even Democrats, I think everybody goes, oh, it has nothing to do with Jenny or
oh, for sure.
Henry, right? You know, but
well, Henry.
But I know it's which.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, Henry, what, the nicest man in the world.
The nicest.
Oh, God, I love him.
Genuinely.
I love him.
But what about, what do you feel about the pressure? Like, for me, I was like, oh, I shouldn't respond to this, first of all, because the trap will work. Like, they have like a million traps to just like suck in anyone for attention so that we're not thinking about voting rights or whatever. But measles.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you believe measles, you guys?
Yeah. Measles.
Jesus Christ.
The marvelous Mrs. Measles.
The marvelous.
Yeah, that's Max. What Cheryl Hines calls herself.
Fuck. Damn.
Yeah, that's what Cheryl Hines is called now. But
you know, isn't it kind of amazing there are people in the world and this country that have A, the time to write nasty things, and B, the inclination to write nasty things.
God.
I mean, don't you have... isn't your day busy? Like, don't you have to work?
Yeah.
Or like, and then what does it do for you to just write these bad things? So like, got them. And then they go on. I don't know. It's just, I've never written anything bad on anything about anybody.
Because I mean, just give it a, take a sip from the fountain. You're going to want to.
Yeah.
Thirsty for big more.
All right. A cup full. Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway.
It's like popcorn. You're not just having one. I always imagine they are Max busy, but at jobs that are, I feel like there's a lot of jobs where you got a lot of downtime.
That
and I
is
feel
for
like
damn sure.
Your boss is mean. To you, a customer sucks, go on there, get a little endorphin hit by writing something mean anonymously. I think Sean's advice is the right to just let it,
don't.
This is it, and let it metabolize through.
And outside of social media, there's also like the weird, like dorky second wave of like, you would get like Parks and Rec star Jenny Slate tells White House, you suck or whatever. It's just such a dorky next thing. It's just like everyone fucking grow up.
They call me
like,
a star? I was a I did. I did like five episodes.
How many more were there? Because I only checked you out.
Yeah.
Jenny, I know the desire is so strong to when somebody does you wrong or somebody lies about you or whatever. There is this incident in my life where this one thing happened and it got blown out of proportion and this one person completely, totally just lied about me.
No.
And and it kind of grew and grew. And all you want to do is show the receipts of like, I have this email and I have this correspondence and I have this that would destroy this person's life in the sense that they would just have egg on their face. They're like, everything you just said is completely not right. But on the advice, on the great advice of my lawyer and my publicist and friends and family, they're like, don't do anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, but what they did was wrong. That's not right. That's not right to just go ahead and lie. And they're like, no. And I did that. And it still kind of bothers me.
Yeah.
But it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I really had like raw chicken on my hands while I got the text. Like I opened the phone with like my knuckle. I was like, my daughter loves a drumstick. I had marinated it all day.
I would have never guessed.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She loves a drumstick.
Just one
drumstick?
She's like freaking King Arthur. She just.
Yes.
I made her like these gorgeous marinated drumsticks.
Did you eat them as well?
I did. And I felt great about them. So did my husband. But I had made a bisque that while we were recording our podcast actually yesterday, I guess maybe it sat on the stove at room temp a little too long. And then I reheated it. And I mostly had that for dinner.
Yeah.
And like when I say, how do I put this? I had diarrhea all night.
Sure. So to speak.
French saying. Speaking in code.
Yeah. So to speak.
Stop speaking in code.
So to speak. You know, like translate that how you will. My husband was also ill to the point where this morning I was like, hey, and he was like, Jenny, last night I Googled, apparently he Googled, what is heart attack?
No.
Because he had such bad, like, heartburn and gas.
From the brisket?
It was a bisque.
It was a bisque.
I like let it get cold, then I reheated. I think that was it. Because our daughter didn't have it, and she's in great health today. So anyway.
You should combine them and call it a biscuit.
A biscuit.
Okay.
Love this.
Brisque.
Do that.
Right. It gives you both diarrhea and heartburn. It's a biscuit, but it's nothing like either the British or the American biscuit.
Because the brisket bisque is one of our favorite dishes. There just hasn't been a name for it yet.
And if you're hosting a bris, you could have a catering service called brisket, where it is you do a bris, then you have the brisket in the
bisque. But you spell it B-R-I-S-K, new word I-T.
Right. Brisket. Yeah. And, you go, and then we
brisket.
Get,
let's
we
got brisket! Some... And then you chop off the top of the baby's penis. I need you guys.
Sean, before we get to our, like, the audience question we get each week.
And we haven't started yet, have we?
No, we're not recording any of this.
No, this is right. Okay,
this is a catch-up, so it feels natural. Yeah.
Start now.
I wanted to ask you, because you're uniquely positioned to give advice on this, and we need it. Do you have any tips on how to let a strong and long friendship flourish while putting it on the air and professionally entangling yourself even more, even though it is just about the friendship? Like, you guys are doing fantastic.
In the same vein that I had to interpret diarrhea, I'm going to interpret your question as, how do we stay friends through all of this? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
First of all, you don't have to talk so close to the mic, Max. Second of all, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. At first, you're like, that's not a friend. No, that's a good question. Well, the thing is, we all live in the same city and we all hang out even when we're not doing the podcast. But we really are like brothers, and just like you guys are brothers and sister. Of course, we've gotten in arguments, and of course, it just makes you closer and it makes you stronger and it makes your bond tighter, you know? So I wouldn't be afraid to, and I'm sure you guys aren't because you've known forever, to have heated discussions about topics you feel passionate about, and, you know, and you get through it. And on the other side is just a closer relationship. And not that we have, really. I can think of like one or two times that we've all kind of gotten into it. And that was like decades ago.
Who won?
Definitely not me.
Yeah.
No.
You're teenage.
No. No, but it was all sibling stuff, you know? And then you realize, oh God, that was so dumb.
Yeah.
Our dynamic is a little more sexual tension.
Sure, but not
in any of the directions you'd think.
You know, Gabe and I have been staring at each other since Y2K.
Yeah.
Who's going to make the first move?
You know, days like this when I show up in both a turtleneck and a full-length corduroy jumpsuit, you know, both of these guys are going crazy.
But you guys are having a good time, and you guys are going to do this forever, right?
Yes.
And it's like, it's...
I mean, truly, like, when we got to record in person, whatever, last week maybe, I was like, the more we do it, the more energized I get. Like, I could talk all day anyway. I kind of do.
Yeah. Just
walking around mumbling. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
I know, me too. I told my therapist, you know, that she gets a break because I just lay it all out on Scotty.
Yeah.
Like, I don't stop talking during the day. I'm like, what do you think? Wow, look at those mountains in Burbank. Do you think that, like, they ever had a snow cap on top? Like, just endless dumb shit.
Yeah.
Jenny doesn't have dreams because everything gets processed.
That's true.
While she's awake. There's nothing left.
That's funny.
That's true. That's what my therapist told me. Is the reason why my dreams are so boring. Like the other night, I had a dream that I was taking the SATs and I was waiting for my result. The reason why it's so boring, or I'm waiting for a sandwich, or I'm, you know, just stuff like that. Is that
So you dream in black space.
I just process so much during the day that when it's time for me to go to bed, it's like my psyche can't even think of anything. So it's just like, ugh, SAT.
Jenny used to fall asleep in cars pointing at herself. It was such a weird, like...
What does that mean?
Like a weird rigor mortis, but also just such like a weird, like, actor.
That's like a baby like, finger this. Thing.
I'm unplugging, but I'm still here. But yeah, it just was fully...
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Driving?
We were in a van on the way to do an improv show somewhere in college.
It was many times, but that was probably when I started screaming about it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. If I recline really even funny. 5 degrees, I'm out. No one sleeps.
Oh, really?
No one falls asleep faster than me. It's crazy.
What about you, Max?
I have to be put down like a wild horse.
Yeah, you got to get tranked, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Ambien and you know, all
oh,
sorts
for real?
Of stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
for
good,
15
though.
Years. I mean, that you, it's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you think you still need it, Ambien?
You know, whenever I like once a month try to take a night off and can, but have like the worst night, like wake up like I just, you know, crossed the Delaware by boat. messed up.
I have ADHD, or something, self-diagnosed. Yeah, same. And so if the second I watch a movie or TV show, I'm out in like 2 minutes. Because I have to focus on something. But then if I take that nap, I'm up, I can watch the whole thing. But it's just like the initial, or reading a book, I'm like one paragraph, I'm out.
We should take our voicemail, right?
We have an audience question. And Sean, we would love, the people ask us for, you know, advice, because we have everything together.
Figured out.
In life.
Yeah.
And we're sages.
I was going to call and leave a message.
You should. Please do.
I should, yeah.
Where should you point when you're sleeping?
Yeah.
Now you already know.
Yeah, that's a good one.
My grandmother, Nana Connie, called the Boston Globe one time and told them they should do more stories about that actress, Jenny Slate. She really did.
Oh, really?
And then the reporter told me.
Did you say my anaconda?
Anaconda. My Nana Connie, my grandmother.
Oh, Nana Connie.
Yeah, and they were anaconda. Like, is this? Because they could see the caller ID.
I love that.
That's funny.
And it says Jenny's. Nana is what Constance her color is. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's listen to this question from a listener.
Hi, I just saw your post on Instagram, and here's my question. Is there any amount of nose picking that is acceptable in some kind of etiquette idea of etiquette? I live in Colorado, and almost everyone here picks their nose because it is so dry and you always have stuff going on. And then it's also an anxiety thing and everybody's anxious. And I would rather someone pick their nose than like do other bad things that come from anxiety. But when I see people really going at it or like cranking up their elbow, it really bugs me and I cannot tolerate it. And there's all kinds of things around that. Like, what do you do with what you get out of it? You know, out of your
nose. Oh, yeah. What you do with what you get out of it. It's a beautiful, put that on a mug.
Yeah.
It's what you do with what you get out of it. Feels like an inspirational saying.
Or like a pillow. But
Sean,
wait, what? So these are the highbrow questions we got here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty easy one. You probably shouldn't do it.
That was Dostoevsky herself calling in.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's easy.
I don't think it's easy.
Okay, wait. What's your answer?
So I realized as I was listening to this question, there is something weirdly, I think, worse about working from the outside in than working on the inside. Does that make sense?
What's that?
Like,
what is that?
Actually,
no,
like
no,
a little
no,
pinch in the no. middle. A little pinch in the middle, middle kind of feels like you're managing. But
that's better. Vaudeville hook. When you have the vaudeville hook.
You can't have that.
Right?
If you're working on something in the like the lobe, I don't even know what you call the larger. I'm like, well, that's gross. That's
like
gross.
The nostril, like if you're on like the side of the nostril picking something.
Yes. weirdly in my head, I'm like, I wouldn't do that in public. I wouldn't want someone to see me in my car doing that.
But it is an incredible feeling once you clear that out and you can breathe. Do you ever watch videos where they pull out massive amounts of mucus from noses?
Yes.
No.
My mouth waters. Yeah. It does. My mouth waters. I'm like, oh God, that looks like it feels so good. The satisfaction of clearing out your nose.
I mean, I've definitely seen people like going crazy on their noses in their own cars. And I understand that, you know, like there's people doing, you know, they're like popping pimples and stuff because they feel that they're alone. That's fine. It's your car. You know, don't do it when someone else is in it. But when you're free, when you're out in the world, I really,
well,
you know,
this is interesting. I think it's the car thing because people feel more confident because if somebody sees you do it, you're like, fuck, I don't care. I'm going to drive away and never see this person again. Yeah. But if you do it, you know, in public or like in your house with other people watching, you're probably more discreet about it because you're stuck with that person in a room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
I don't know. What do you think about that philosophy?
I have a gym membership just to pop in and absolutely rip ones in the locker room. You know, like I pay for it. Yeah. And so I have a couple around the city and I'll just park. Get the validation, go into the locker room, absolutely get screwed up there, and then just go.
I was such a nose picker when I was little. That was something I really had to like learn to like knack it off.
Did you flick it or wipe it?
I flicked it. I was a flicker. And I remember having to be like, okay, this is unacceptable. To other people, I still think it's normal and fine.
I think I knew not to let people see me doing it. But I do think it's really satisfying and that it's okay. It's your own body. You find a private space to do it. Like if you have like a dry booger and getting it out, that feels great. Yeah. I think the answer is you should really try to, this is what I would say. Try not to do it in public.
Yeah.
You know, just try. Yeah. Just try.
The etiquette is don't do it in public.
Don't
Everyone
do it in public.
That.
And definitely don't
flick
it. But we
love you.
Yeah. I'm sorry about Colorado's anxiety epidemic. I know it's
That's
tough
right.
to pick which brew house and pizza place to go to or whatever because there's four on every block, but you'll figure it out.
I saw the clip, the promo clip for I Need You Guys. And Jenny, you brought up such a funny thing about getting your own phone or something. You're like, remember when you got your own phone? It was such a big deal. And Gabe, you said, and then your family would listen in or something.
Yeah. Jenny's right? dad listened in. Yes.
Yeah. All the time, right?
Yeah.
My mom would do that too. I remember that as a kid, like the landlines. And one time I went down to the basement and I called some gay chat group line, you know, remember those from the 1980s?
Singles are waiting to party on the landline.
That's
with
right.
You.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I'll try it. And I thought it was being real discreet. And then my mom got it was like $3 a minute or something.
Oh.
And then my mom got the phone bill and she called it before confronting me.
No.
And she was like, what is this? And I was like, I don't know. I mean,
we got hacked.
I was like, I'm trying to call my friend Randy.
Yeah.
And I must have dialed the wrong number.
Yeah,
and she was like,
homework.
You dialed it. 5 times for an hour, you know, but you could never get away with anything on a landline.
No. God,
ever.
No.
Well, nope. Before caller ID, you could definitely prank call. You could do that.
Yeah, Star 67 or whatever.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You could block your number,
you
right?
Block your number so you could get away with anything.
Can't you do that on cell phones now?
I don't know.
I think so.
I mean, there was a time when...
I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah.
My friend Randy wants to know.
Randy needs to know if he can block.
Yeah.
Because he likes to party on the phone.
Weirdly, Jenny's phone rings with a blocked number.
The number we knew about that we would call it, if we were like, there was a payphone somewhere and you could only listen to like 90 seconds before it made you paid. 1-800-RED-TITS.
And what?
I don't know who like knew that, but it's like, also, why is that?
Why
are
they red?
Why not red nips? Why are the full titties all red?
The
whole thing, they're red. They're bright red. They're the same. There's no change in tone. It's just an absolute fire engine red.
The whole thing is red.
I once got a $750 AOL bill because I thought I had, and my parents were like, why do we have a $750 charge? And it was because we had a second line that I quietly co-opted for AOL. Yeah. And but I didn't know that the 40 free hours had run out or whatever, because we would get those discs in the mail.
Yeah.
And truly, it was because I would leave my computer on overnight to download like a .gif of like Tiffany Amber Thiessen, yep. you know, like yeah. sitting on the hood yeah, of a yeah. Porsche. But it took 15 hours for right. like a half a megabyte file and cost my parents $800. Sorry, Mom.
By the way, before we go, if you're looking for affordable plans for anything, Smartless Mobile is $10 a month for 10 gigabytes.
You're kidding.
Thank you, guys. What a pleasure to be on your show.
Such a pro.
This was
Sean, thank you for coming on our show. It was so good to see you. I miss you.
You too. I love you guys. I love you too. Oh, come on.
Thank you so
much.
Thanks for
I love this so much.
We do too.
We're so happy to be doing it.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
What an angel. That was so fun.
I love Sean Hayes. He is one of the greats.
Boy.
I think that's the living room he was setting up in at the beginning of the pandemic. Like great bookshelf, great setup.
Beautiful bookshelf. He also had a sort of a kitchen island
right.
moment too for table reads, where you could see like a living room behind him.
You're right. Ugh.
I don't know. I would suspect that you guys feel this, but like there are moments in like I don't feel that it's normal to be able to talk to Sean Hayes. You know, like
I know,
like
yeah,
like to be like oh yeah, like look into my future and be like yeah, I get to talk to one of the funniest people on TV.
Yes.
And he knows my name and in fact has like helped me have a podcast. That just was like kind of blowing my mind. And I didn't want to say it to him because I felt like I would start crying. So I'll just tag it on the end here. But it's just like, you know, remember that like episode of Will and Grace where it was like the real Cher?
Of course.
Oh my God. Yes. Like I just remember being like, he's like a gold medalist of comedy.
Yep. Jenny, that is crazy. Okay, Daniel and I, my husband and I, we've rewatched the old Will and Grace many times over our 10-year marriage. So, like, and he always makes fun of me because while we're watching it, I will mumble under my breath, Olympic level.
Oh my God, Olympic level.
Whenever Sean lands a joke, it's just like...
It's crazy.
The writing is hard to say. That character is like hard to play. And then he was doing like backflips and all this physical stuff. Absolutely crazy.
Like sometimes, like the first time I went to like a table read for a show and was like, oh, you like, I didn't really know what it was. Like get what? So if you don't know, like if you're on TV, there used to be a time, they don't really do it a lot now, but it used to be especially on like a sitcom. But also animated stuff, before they would film or record, you would all sit around like a table and everybody would like perform the script and like for the executives, and you would like really want people to laugh and like see if it works. And it was kind of a lot of pressure. And it was really important. And anyway, the first time I did one, the thing I thought, and it was a successful table read, on my way out, I was like, oh my God, the people that got to see Sean Hayes and Megan Mullally do table reads must have like been crying. Like they must have like known that they were like a part of something.
One story I meant to tell earlier, just to wrap it up, to let you know how, where I am as we head off into our days, is that you mentioned Dean Cain, Jenny.
Yeah.
And a month ago I was looking at my phone and I said to my wife, oh wow, Trader Vic's is reopening in West Hollywood. And she's like, what's Trader Vic's? And I like love like tiki cocktails and love kind of like LA divey spots. Mm-hmm. And so I started explaining to her, I was like, well, it was kind of this like, now there's a lot of them, but it was sort of this hot spot in like, I think the 50s, 60s. And it was like, you know, Dean Martin and his crew would be there. And it was sort of like, you know, Dean Martin's hang, but I accidentally said Dean Cain. Right. So she was like, I'm excited about Trader Vic's. She's like, what's Trader Vic's? I was like, it's the sort of like tiki lounge, it like where Dean Cain used to hang out. And it was kind of like Dean Cain's crew.
Hatcher.
But I'm saying she and to her credit was just like, oh, cool. Yeah. Like, as if I would be like pretty excited about a restaurant where Dean Cain used to hang out.
Yeah.
Reopening famously his crew of lounge lizards.
Oh, the coolest.
Yeah, the coolest.
And coming up next, Dean Cain will be batching up some tiki drinks.
Riding in here on a big old lounge lizard. He's sitting on one of the big Stegosaurus spikes.
This was fabulous, you guys. Yeah, I love you.
It really
love
was.
You so much.
Gosh, I love you guys so much. And is there anything cool you're going to do before you see us all next?
I'm going to send the White House some memes.
oh, we're taking our baby to a pumpkin, to like a big light show at Descanso Gardens tonight. Pumpkins,
oh,
Halloween.
I'm yes. So
we might dress him up in his costume.
Whoa. Yes, you should.
That's so great. Nice. That's so, that. So nice.
I'll send pics.
Wow.
I'll send pics. Bye, guys.
Bye. I need you, girl. This show is called I Need You Guys, and it starred us, Gabe Liebman, Jenny Slate, and Max Silvestri. It's a production of SmartList Media.
I Need You Guys is produced by Ann Harris, Josh Richmond, and Devin Torrey Bryant, and edited by Josh. Music is by Devin. Executive producers are the coolest people in the world, Gabe, Jenny, and Max.
Executive producers for SmartList Media are Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, Richard Corson, and Bernie Kaminsky.
Email us at ineedyouguysshow@gmail.com with all your most perplexing etiquette questions, or even better, call us at 949-441-1231 and leave your questions as a voicemail so we can play your adorable voices on the show.
We'll see you next week.
Because we need you guys.
We need you guys.
We need you guys.